This week's parsha is Parshas Bo, and we'll start our shir in chapter 10, verse number 25. But before we do that, we have to give a quick synopsis of what is happening in the parsha. Paro and the Egyptians just received the plague of darkness, and in pasuk number 24, Paro calls Moshe Rabbeinu and he tells him, "Go serve Hashem, rak tzoinchem uvekarchem yutzok, but your sheep and your cattle will stay in place. Gam tapchem yelech imochem, your children should go also with you." Meaning, according to the simple interpretation, Paro was now willing to let the Jewish people go and serve Hashem in the desert, even taking their children, but the sheep and the cattle should remain behind. On pasuk number 25, Vayomer Moshe, Moshe says, "Gam ato titem beyodenu zvachim v'oilois, you are also going to give in our hands sacrifices and elevation offerings, v'asinu l'Hashem melokeinu, and we are going to do to Hashem our God." And then on pasuk number 26, "V'gam miknenu yelech imanu, and all our cattle is also going to go with us, lo tishoer parsa, not even a hoof will remain behind, kimimenu nikach lav is Hashem elokeinu, because from them we will take to serve Hashem our God, v'anachnu neidam, and we are not going to know, manavod Hashem, what we're going to serve Hashem, ad bo'enu shoma, until we get there," meaning until we get to the mountain of Hashem, we won't know what we are going to need to serve Hashem. The simple interpretation of this psukim are very simple. They are meant to say that Paro told that the Jewish people should go, but their cattle should remain behind. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, not only are we going to take our cattle, but you are also going to give us cattle. And the reason we are taking so much cattle is because we don't know exactly how much or what we are going to need to serve Hashem. By the way, that seems to be the interpretation that Rashi gives, because Rashi on pasuk number 25, "Gam ato titen," that you are also going to give, Rashi says, "Loy dayecho shemiknenu yelech imanu," not enough that our cattle will go with us, "elo gam ato titen mishelecho," that you're also going to give from what you have, meaning from your animals, you are also going to give us to bring sacrifices to Hashem. The Kliyakor notes that if the interpretation of the pasuk is as we mentioned, then we have a problem if the way that Paro is structured his response and the way that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, meaning that Paro in pasuk number 24 says, "Lechu ivdu es Hashem," go serve Hashem. Then Paro makes an exception, "Rak tzoinchem uvekarchem yitzok," that only your cattle will stay in place. And then he continues, "Gam tapchem yelech imochem," that your children should also go with you. It seems to go back and forth, because the proper way to write this pasuk should have been, "Lechu ivdu es Hashem," go serve Hashem, "Gam tapchem yelech imochem," that your children should also go with you, "Rak tzoinchem vekarchem yitzok," but only your cattle should stay in place. Why does Paro interrupt with the cattle between saying that they could go and the children could go, but the cattle remains behind? What is Paro trying to say with the idea that the cattle should remain behind? And then Moshe Rabbeinu's answer is also complicated, because Moshe Rabbeinu's answer is, "Gam ato titen beyodenu zvachim v'oilois v'osinu l'Hashem alakenu," you are also going to give in our hands animals and will bring a sacrifice to Hashem. The word also automatically implies that not only are we going to take ours, but you should also give us. And then on pasuk number 26, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "V'gam miknenu yelech imanu," and also our cattle will go with us, that no hoof will remain behind, because we don't know what we are going to serve Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu should have said that our animals will go with us, and you are also going to give us animals for sacrifice. If the interpretation is simple, then Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have to bring the whole pasuk 26. He could just say pasuk 25, where pasuk 25 says that "Gam ato titen beyodenu zvachim v'oilois," that you are also going to give us animals, because since Paro said that your animals should stay behind, then Moshe Rabbeinu has to say that you are also going to give us animals, meaning not only our animals we are going to take with us, you are also going to give us more animals. Then why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to write Pasuk number 26 that says that we are going to take our animals? Clearly, if you are taking your animals, then obviously we are also going to take ours. And if Moshe Rabbeinu just wants to make sure that Paro understands that all the animals are going to take, then Moshe Rabbeinu should have said that our cattle will go with us, and not only our cattle will go with us, that you are also going to give us more cattle. What is Moshe Rabbeinu trying to teach us by structuring the Pasuk this way? The other question that we are going to analyze today is Moshe Rabbeinu's statement in Pasuk number 25. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paroi, Gam ato titen beyodeinu zvochim v'oilois, that you are also going to give in our hands sacrifices and elevation offerings, v'osinu l'Hashem Elokeinu, and we are going to do them for Hashem. This Pasuk implies clearly that Paroi is going to give sacrifices that the Jewish people are going to bring. The question is, did Paroi actually do that when the Jewish people left, or he didn't do that? Rashi's opinion is clear that Paroi did that when the Jewish people left, because when the Jewish people left, in chapter 12, verse number 32, there the Pasuk says that after the death of the firstborn, Paroi came to Moshe and Aharon and told them, Gam tzoyimchem gam berkachem k'chu kasha dibartem velechu, that your cattle and your sheep you should take as you have said and you should go, uveirachtem gam oisi, and you should also bless me. The Pasuk only says gam tzoyimchem gam berkachem, that your sheep and your cattle, which implies only the sheep and the cattle of the Jewish people. But then the Pasuk says kasha dibartem, as you have said. Rashi understands, and so does the Medrash Tanhuma, that when the Pasuk says Kasher Dibartem, as you have said, the Pasuk comes to add something else, meaning in addition to your cattle, you should also do as you have said. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu say previously? Moshe Rabbeinu said previously that you are also going to give us animals. That means that when Paroi says that you should take your cattle and your sheep, as you have said, Paroi is adding that he should also take from Paroi's animals and he should go. Meaning, at that point, Paroi gave to the Jewish people more animals. The Ramban and the Or HaChaim HaKodesh take issue with this idea that Moshe Rabbeinu took from Paroi animals to bring as a sacrifice to Hashem, because since we have a rule that Zevach Reshoim To'eva, that animals from an evil person is considered abomination, then clearly Moshe Rabbeinu cannot take animals of Paroi to bring as a sacrifice for him, because Paroi is an evil person and his sacrifices are considered abomination to Hashem. Then the Ramban and the Rachama Kodesh believe that Paroi did not give any animals to Moshe Rabbeinu to bring as sacrifice. Then we have to understand, according to them, how do they interpret the words Gam ato titen beyodeinu zvochim v'oilois v'osinu l'Hashem Elokeinu, that you are also going to give in our hands animals and we bring a sacrifice? What does it mean that Paro is also going to give animals for the Jewish people to bring a sacrifice? The Venezri is unsure if the Jewish people received the animals from Paro at the end or didn't receive Paro at the end, but the Venezri says that if they did not receive animals at the end, then when you say Gam ato titem beyodeinu zvachim voilois, it means to say Gam ato chayev litem beyodeinu zvachim voilois, that because of your misdeeds you should really be obligated to bring sacrifices to Hashem. But the Jewish people did not accept, because Zevach Reshoim To'eva, because the sacrifice of an evil person is abomination. But Moshe Rabbeinu is informing Paroi that for what he did, he should really be obligated to bring sacrifices to Hashem. Not that he is eventually going to send sacrifices, but nonetheless, he is technically obligated to bring sacrifices to Hashem. The Ramban says that this is Divrei Chizuk, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu is reinforcing his words, meaning you think that our animals aren't going to go. Not only our animals are going to go, but you wish we would take your animals. Meaning that after Makas Bechoires, after the death of the firstborn, Paro is going to be willing to do anything that we want. That if you would have asked for your animals, you would have also given us those animals. But not that the Jewish people actually took the animals from Paroi, but after Makas Bechoires, after the death of the firstborn, Paroi is going to be willing to give anything to the Jewish people, that if the Jewish people would have asked for Paroi's animals, Paroi would have given the animals, but eventually the Jewish people did not ask for those animals. Because since Paroi was afraid for his life, at the end, he would have given anything in order that the Jewish people should bless Paroi, that Paroi should not be killed by the death of the firstborn. We'll now give a couple answers. We'll start with the Kli Yokor, and through that we will see if the Jewish people took animals from the Egyptians or not. The Kli Yokor explains that there was two types of cattle, meaning that the Jewish people had cattle from before, meaning the flocks that were there from their forefathers, and also the Jewish people were actively buying cattle from the Egyptians. They were always buying more cattle for the Egyptians. Paroi erroneously thought that the reason the Jewish people are buying from the Egyptians is because the Jewish people don't want to use their own calves for a sacrifice to Hashem, because they don't want to waste their calves. They want to sacrifice only the new animals that they are buying. Therefore, Paroi tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Rak tzoinchem uvekarchem yutzok," that the cattle and the sheep that you had until now, they should remain behind, because you don't plan to bring them as sacrifice anyways, then they should remain behind. But Paroi understood that they are going to take animals for sacrifice, but Paroi thought that only the new animals, the ones that just bought, they were going to bring as sacrifice. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu answered Paroi that it's not proper to just sacrifice the ones that we brought and leave the best of our sheep that we have till now behind and not bring this to Hashem. Therefore he says, "Gam ato titem beyodeinu zvachim voil," that you are going to give, meaning we are going to pay and you are going to give us more animals, and vosinu l'Hashem Elokeinu, you are going to bring those animals to Hashem. And the reason it says titem beyodeinu, you are going to give in our hands, means that we are going to buy from you. But besides that, v'gam mikraineinu yelechimanu, we are also going to take our cattle, meaning our cattle that we had till now, we are also going to bring, because we don't know exactly how many animals we are going to bring to Hashem. Therefore, you require to give us all the animals that you had till now, plus the animals that we are going to bring. And according to the Kli Yokor, when Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Gam ato titem beyodeinu zvachim voiles," that you are going to give in our hands animals, it doesn't mean that you are going to give us as a present animals and we are going to bring those animals as sacrifices for you. It means that you are going to give us as a present and we are going to bring it for ourselves, or it means that you are going to make available for us more animals to buy, because we are supposed to take the new animals that we're buying and also the old animals that we had till now, because we don't know what we are going to sacrifice and how much we're going to sacrifice to Hashem. The Reish Lakish has a completely different interpretation, and he says that when Paroi said to the Jewish people, "Lechu ivdu es Hashem," that you should serve Hashem, "Rak tzoinchem v'karchem yutzog," that only your cattle should remain, "Gam tabchem yelech imochem," and your children should also go, and we mentioned previously that this is not correct speaking, that if you speak correctly, you say everybody should go, including the children, but the cattle should remain here. Why did he split the people who are going, meaning the adults and the children, and put the cattle in the middle? The Reish Lakish explains that the reason that he did that is because he was imposing a condition on when the children could go, meaning that Paroi was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu that only if Tzoinchem u'Bekarchem Yitzok, only if the cattle remain behind, stay here, then the children could go. Meaning he did not allow the Jewish people all to go. He was imposing a very serious condition that the Jewish people could only go, the children could only go, only if the cattle remain here. Again, Paroi allowed the adult Jewish people to go unconditionally, but the children of the Jewish people he only allowed to go if the cattle remains there. And he wanted to make, according to Halacha, that Tnai Koidim Lamasa, that the condition always comes before the action, meaning that if the cattle remains there, then the children could go. The Reish Lakish then asks, how does Paroi know the Halacha? The Rechaim says it could be that this is not halacha, but this is the normal way when a person imposes a condition, that he always puts the condition before the action. Therefore, Paro said, you the adults could all leave. But if your cattle stay, then you'll be allowed to take your children with you. But if the cattle doesn't stay, then you won't be able to take your children with you. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu did not agree to those terms, and Moshe Rabbeinu said that you are also going to give us cattle, meaning you are going to sell us cattle according to Rechaim, and we are going to bring as a sacrifice for ourselves and not for you. Because the Rechaim brings a proof that since the Gemara in Menachos, Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis 73b says, Shemekablim Umos Oilam, that we not receive from non-Jews, Elo Oila, only elevation offerings, Veloy Shlomim, and not other sacrifices. And here, Moshe Rabbeinu offers that you are going to give in our hands Zvachim Ve'oilois, sacrifices and elevation offerings, and will do to Hashem, then obviously he wasn't referring that he's going to bring it on behalf of Paroi. He was referring that he's going to give us to the Jewish people as a gift, or he's going to sell to the Jewish people, and the Jewish people are going to buy those sacrifices and bring the sacrifices for themselves and not for Paroi. Then the Rechaim explains that Paroi already agreed that the Jewish people should be able to take the calves and the cattle to bring a sacrifice to Hashem, but Paroi still wanted that the animals that are not fit for sacrifice, for example, horses, camels, and donkeys, those should remain behind because you don't need those as a sacrifice to Hashem. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu said that the gam ikneinu yelech imanu, that all our cattle, meaning everything that we have, everything that we bought, all our animals are going to go with us, loiti shoer parso, that not a single hoof will remain behind, meaning even the camels, donkeys, and horses will take with us, kimimenu nikach lavoit Hashem Elokeinu, because we are going to take from them to serve Hashem, meaning either that they are going to be necessary to carry the loads that we have to bring to Hashem, or we have to sell them and use their collateral, use their value for the service of Hashem, because we don't know exactly what Hashem is going to demand of us when we came to the mountain. Maybe we need precious stones, maybe we need other materials which we can't have unless we sell some of our possessions. Therefore, we require to take all our possessions, even those who cannot be directly a sacrifice to Hashem, for example, the non-kosher animals or the animals that have a blemish, because we are still going to use their value, their collateral, because we don't know exactly what Hashem requires of us until we get to the mountain. Therefore, we have to take everything, all the animals. And that answers the question of Gam Ato Titen Beyodeinu, which means not only are we going to take our sheep and cattle because we are going to bring those as sacrifice, you are also going to give us and let us buy more, and we are going to bring a sacrifice. But besides that, all the other animals that we have, the mikneh that we have, the horses, the donkeys, and the camels, are all going to go with us. We're not going to leave behind not a single hoof, because we don't know what Hashem is going to require of us. The Chasam Sofer is also of the opinion that Paroi never gave any cattle to the Jewish people. The Chasam Sofer explains that when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Gam ato titen beyodeinu zevach v'oilois, that you are going to give in our hand zevach and oilois, meaning that since we are required to thank Hashem and bring sacrifices for the miracles that Hashem made to us, to thank Hashem for all the goodness that He did to us, and since you, Paroi, are now standing against Hashem, you're not letting the Jewish people go, then you are going to be the source that we are going to have to bring more sacrifices to Hashem. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu was not telling Paroi that Paroi is actually going to give animals and we are going to bring those animals, because clearly we're not allowed to bring the animals of an evil person to Hashem. But what it means that through you, through your actions, you are causing now that we have to bring more animals to Hashem, because you are making the miracle greater, And the greater the miracle, the more sacrifices, the more thanksgiving we require to give to Hashem. And through your actions, you are causing that we are going to have to give more animals to Hashem. Gam ato titem beyodeinu, that you are now going to give animals to Hashem, it means that through your actions, you are causing us to have to bring more animals to Hashem. Then the Chasam Sofer gives another answer, which is also the answer of the Ponim Yafois, that since the government always owns a portion of the animal, as the Gemara in Pesachim, the Yud Amud Aleph brings down, that the king owned a certain percentage of the animal, then all the animals that the Jewish people had were partly the king's animal. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said that gam ato titem beyodeinu zvachim ve'oilois, that you are going to liberate, you are going to give up on your portion of the animals, that you are going to give us that portion that you have in our animals. And then v'gam iknenu yelechimano, then all the animals, all the cattle will be able to go with us. Meaning that it's going to be two stages. One stage, that since all the animals are under your control, because you have a percentage, since you are the king, on all the animals that are in Egypt. Therefore, first you have to make that gam ato titem beyodeinu zvachim v'olois, that you are going to give up on your portion of your control, the percentage that you have on this animal, and then v'osinu l'Hashem Elokeinu will be able to do. And automatically, if you give up, then kamikneinu yelechimanu, will take our animals with us and we'll leave. Meaning that it wasn't that Paro is going to give animals that he owned to the Jewish people, but since the king automatically has ownership on the animals, because the king owns a percentage of every animal that is in Egypt, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling that not only we are not going to let the animals stay here, you are going to give up your percentage on the animals, then those percentage are going to be ours, and then we'll take our cattle and leave, and we'll bring those animals as a sacrifice to Hashem. The Ponim Yafois adds that based on this idea that Paroi had a control on every animal, meaning he had percentage on an animal, then we understand why Paroi would not send out the Jews after the Makkah of Dever, after the Makkah of Pestilence. Meaning that in the plague of pestilence, in chapter 9, verse number 4, there is written, Viflo Hashem, Hashem will separate by Mikne Israel between the sheep of the Jewish people, Uve Mikne Mitzrayim, and between the sheep of Egypt, Velo Yomus Mikol Livne Israel Dover, and will not die from anything that the Jewish people has, a single thing. Meaning, not a single animal of the Jewish people will die, and all the animals of the Egyptians will die. And then in Pasuk number 6 it says, Vayas Hashem es hadavar hazeh mimochras, Hashem did this thing, meaning he sent the pestilence mimochras the next day, Vayomos kol mikne Mitzrayim, and all the cattle of Egypt died, mikne bnei Yisrael lo meis eichot, and from the cattle of the Jewish people, not a single one died. But then on Pasuk number 7, it's written, Vayishlach Paroi, Paroi sent, V'hine lo imeis mimikne Yisrael ad echot, that from the sheep of Israel did not die ad echot, until one, normally translated that a single one did not die. Vayich bat leif Paroi, Paroi's heart became hardened, V'lo yishilach esom, and he did not send the people. Normally you would think, if Paroi saw that the Jewish people's cattle did not die, that he would let the Jewish people go. What is the sequence that Paroi sent and he saw that none of the Jewish people's cattle died, therefore he did not send out the Jewish people? It doesn't make sense that he wouldn't send out the Jewish people if he actually saw that Hashem's plague came true. Therefore, Mefarshim give two different answers based on the words that's written, Ad Echad, until one, which implies that out of the Jewish people, the animals did not die, Ad Echad, until one, but one did die. And the one that died was the son of Shlomis Baz Divri, as Rashi brings down in Shmos, chapter 2, verse number 11, where the Pasuk there says that Moshe Rabbeinu grew up and he went to see the burdens of the brothers, and he saw an Egyptian hitting a Jew from his brothers. So Rashi explains that this woman, Shlomit Baz Divri, was always saying hello to the Egyptian. And the Egyptian decided that he is going to have relations with her, but she was married. Then the Egyptian decides that he's going to wake up the husband of this Shlomis Bazivri early in the morning, send them to work, and he took the place of the husband and had relations with Shlomis Bazivri. The Medrash clearly says that she did not know that this was the Egyptian, and she did not know that this was not her husband. But nonetheless, the husband comes home and finds out that Shlomis Bazivri had relations with the Egyptian, and the Egyptian realizes that the husband knows that. Then the Egyptian is hitting this husband of Shlomis Bazivri in order to kill him, in order to cover up the crime that he had relations with her. Moshe Rabbeinu finds out through Ruach HaKodesh, through prophecy, that this is what happened and this Egyptian is trying to kill this Jew. Then Moshe Rabbeinu goes and kills this Egyptian by pronouncing Hashem's name. But because this Egyptian had relations with a Jewish woman, unfortunately this Jewish woman became pregnant and gave birth to a child, which is listed in chapter 24, verse number 10 of Vayikra. This child eventually is going to curse Hashem's name. He's going to be known as the Megadev, the cursor. But the Torah calls him Vahu Banish Mitzri, that he's the son of the Egyptian. And the Ramban already asks there that the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Memhei Amud Aleph, writes that if a non-Jew had relations with a Jewish woman, then the child is Jewish. Then how is it possible that the Torah should call this child of Egyptian who had relations with a Jewish woman the son of the Egyptian? He should be the son of a Jewish woman. The Ramban answers that the halacha that we say that a son of a Jewish mother is a Jew, that is only after the Torah was given. But this happened before Torah was given, and before Torah was given we follow the father. Therefore, the son of an Egyptian with a Jewish woman would be considered Egyptian. Mefarshim say that this is what happened here, meaning that this son of the Egyptian man had cattle, and during the plague of pestilence, his cattle died, and Paroi did not know that he was technically an Egyptian, because Paroi knew that he grew up as a Jew because he was the son of the Jewish woman. Then when Paroi sent out people to see if any of the Jewish cattle died, they found out that the cattle of this person died. Then Paroi believed that the plagues did not take effect, because Hashem said that he'll separate between the Egyptians and the Jews, and yet Paroi thought that the cattle of a Jew died. Therefore, Paroi did not send out the Jewish people. The Ponim Yofer says that according to what he just mentioned, that the king of Egypt had a portion on every animal, now we could say that when he says that Vayishlach Paroi saw Vine Eloi Meis Mimikne Yisrael Ad Echot, that from the cattle of the Jewish people did not die until Echot, until one, was referring the one himself. Meaning that even though Paroi had ownership in the animals, yet the animals did not die, and yet Hashem had said that all the animals of the Egyptians will die, that caused Paroi's heart to be hardened, therefore he did not send out the Jewish people. Because since Paroi owned a portion of every animal, then Paroi thought that the animals should die. Once Paroi saw the Ad Echad, until the one, meaning the one Paroi, still the animals of the Jewish people did not die, even though Paroi is an Egyptian, that caused him to harden his heart, therefore he did not send out the Jewish people. And we could bring a proof to this explanation, that Ad Echad, until one miss Paroi, from what is written in Parshas Beshalach, chapter 14, verse number 28. There we reading about the story of Kriyas Yamsuf, of the crossing of the sea. There it's written, Vayoshuvu Amayim, that the waters returned, Vayechasu Ezorechev, and they covered the chariot with Zaporoshim, and the riders, the Choyel Chel Paroi, to the whole army of Paroi, Aboy Machareim, Bayam, that are coming after them in the sea. Vayonishar Bohem Ad Echot, and it was not remaining until one. And the Medrash there says that one Egyptian was salvaged from the crossing of the sea, and that Egyptian was Paroi. So there it's written Ad Echad, until one, and that meant Paroi. So here too, when it says Velo Meisim Mikne Yisrael Ad Echad, that none of the animals of the Jewish people died until one, means including Paroi. Therefore, Paroi did not believe that the plagues really took effect because his cattle, his ownership on every Jew's cattle did not die. Therefore, Paroi believed that the plague is not valid. Then the Panim Yafes gives a different answer, and the Panim Yafes says that Moshe Rabbeinu had a question which animal would be better to being a sacrifice to Hashem. Meaning that we know that the Egyptians held their goats and their sheep, their cattle, for an idol. And technically, all the animals that the Egyptian had should be disqualified to bring to Hashem for a sacrifice. But we have a rule that a non-Jew could annul his idol. Therefore, if the non-Jew would sell this animal to the Jewish person to bring as a sacrifice to Hashem, that means that the non-Jew is automatically annulling his idol, and that animal would be okay to bring as a sacrifice to Hashem. But, nonetheless, that animal was originally an idol. Then we have a rule that if a Jewish person has an idol, the Jewish person could never annul his idol, and his idol is always prohibited. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had a problem. He didn't know which one is better. Because since the Pasuk writes down in Shemaz chapter 12, verse number 21, when Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people to bring a Passover offering, there the Pasuk says, Mishchu, pull yourself, ukhu lachem, and take tzoyin hashib l'mishpachoy seichem for your family, v'shachatu ha-pesach, and you should do the Pesach. These are Moisef Rashi, which is Rashi's extension, which Rashi says, what does it mean? Mishchu ukhu lachem, pull yourself and take. You should have said the opposite. You said, khu, buy and pull yourself a sheep for a sacrifice. Rashi explains, lefi shoyu shtufim bo'alilim, because the Jewish people were so involved in idols, Omaloem, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, first mishchu, first pull yourself, me'alilim, from your gods, and then khu lachem, and then take yourself a Pesach. Meaning, before you take a Pesach, you gotta make sure that you are pulling yourself out from idolatry. Which means that a majority of Jewish people did idolatry. They believed that the sheep and the cattle are also gods. And therefore, it was an extreme test for them to take those sheep and bring as a Pesach offering to Hashem. But nonetheless, all the Jewish people did that. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the Jewish people believe these animals are the gods. Since we know that an idol of a Jew cannot be annulled, Moshe Rabbeinu did not know for sure which animal we are going to bring for the sacrifice to Hashem in Mount Sinai. Because could be that Hashem would prefer the animal of an Egyptian, which the Egyptian cancelled by selling it or by giving it as a present to the Jewish person, because then the Egyptian is annulling his idol, or could be that it's better to take the animal of a Jewish person, which the Jewish person himself already cancelled his idol. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paroi, Gam ato titen beyodenu zvachim v'olois, that you are also going to give in our hands animals, v'osinu l'Hashem Elokeinu, then we'll make it to Hashem, which Hashem would prefer. But also, v'gam ikneinu yelech imanu, we require to take our sheep and cattle also. Why? Ki mimenu nikach l'avoit ez Hashem Elokeinu, could be that we are going to take from those to serve Hashem. V'anachnu lo neda manavoit ez Hashem, we don't know what Hashem would prefer ad bo'enu shama until we get to the mountain of Hashem. Meaning we don't know which animal Hashem prefers, because could be that Hashem prefers the animal of the Egyptian, which the Egyptian cancelled his idolatry because a non-Jew could cancel his idol, or could be that Hashem prefers the animal of the Jew, which the Jewish people did idolatry not voluntarily but under duress, under the force of the Egyptian, could be that this is better for Hashem. Sefer Shemeroish explains this psukim that Paro is going to give us sacrifices based on the Torah's Moshe in chapter 12, verse number 1, 2, and 3. There the pasuk says, "Vaydabra Hashem Moshe v'laharn beretz Mitzrayim leimur." Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aharon in the land of Egypt, saying, "Achoydesh hazeh, this month, lochem will be to you Rosh Chodeshim, the first month, Rishon ulochem, it will be the first month l'chodesh Hashanah for the month of the year. Then the pasuk says, "Dabrol kol das Israel, tell to the whole congregation of Jewish people, Lamer, saying, but also lachodesh hazeh, in the 10th day of this month, vikholochem ish selavei savois selaboyz, that each person should take a sheep to his family, a sheep to his house." The Torah Moshe asks that the way that Hashem put this pasuk, it seems that the first commandment, that this is going to be the first month of the year, it's going to be Rosh Chodesh, was only given to Moshe and Aharon, because only afterwards Hashem tells Daber Kodas Bnei Israel, tell the whole congregation of the Jewish people, saying that in the 10th day of the month they should take a sacrifice. Hashem should have said in the beginning, Daber Kodas Bnei Israel, tell to the whole congregation of the Jewish people that this month is the first month of the year, and that the Jewish people should take a sacrifice. Why did Hashem make it that the first statement was only referring to Moshe and Aharon and not to the whole congregation of the Jewish people? And even though the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof Hei Omed Beis, learns from that since Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aharon and told them that they should establish Rosh Chodesh, that you cannot establish Rosh Chodesh by a Yochid Mumcha, by a single expert, you require to have more people, but nonetheless, the Torah Moshe brings a different answer. The Torah Moshe says that it's known, as we mentioned before, that the Jewish people did idolatry while they were in Egypt, and also he brings a Ramban, that the Ramban says that every month of Nisan, since Nisan is the Mazel Tleh, is the sign of the sheep, then the Egyptians used to bring sacrifices in honor of the sheep. And unfortunately, the Jewish people learned the ways of the Egyptians, and they also did idolatry on Nisan for the sign of the sheep. And then the Torah Moshe brings the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Peivav Amud Beis 86b, where the Gemara there makes a distinction between somebody who does tshuva out of fear to somebody who does tshuva out of love. That when you do tshuva, when you repent out of fear, then all your purposeful sins become like mistakes, meaning zedoinois nase shugogois. But when you do tshuva out of love, even though you did the sin on purpose, that sin turns out to be a merit and turns out to be a mitzvah. And he says that since Hashem knew that the Jewish people eventually are going to repent and eventually they are going to do tshuva mehava, tshuva out of love, then it ends up being that all the sacrifices that the Jewish people brought on Nisan, on the sign of the sheep, becomes now merits, becomes almost like sacrifices to Hashem. Then it turns out that this first month, then the Jewish people are going to bring a Pesach offering, a sacrifice to Hashem, it's not really the first Nisan that the Jewish people bring a sacrifice to Hashem, because after they do tshuva mehava, after they do repentance out of love, then all the Nisans up to this date will end up being that they did a sacrifice to Hashem. Therefore, Hashem tells Moshe and Aharon that achodesh hazeh lochem rosh chodeshim, that this is going to be the first month only for you, meaning this is going to be the first month that you, Moshe and Aharon, who never did idolatry, for you this is going to be the first month that you bring a sacrifice to Hashem. But to the Jewish people, this is not going to be their first month that they bring a sacrifice to Hashem, because true that this is the first month they are commanded to do a sacrifice to Hashem, but I know that the Jewish people will eventually repent, and when the Jewish people repent, then I transform their sins into merit. Then comes out that all the sacrifices that they brought in the month of Nisan are going to be now for Hashem. Therefore, I can't say that this is going to be your first mitzvah, your first month, because for the Jewish people, they have mitzvahs from before, because all those sacrifices they brought for idolatry now are transformed as mitzvahs to Hashem. But Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon, for them it's going to be a chodesh hazeh lochem rosh chodeshim. To you it's going to be a new month, but to the Jewish people it's not going to be a new month, because the Jewish people are going to receive credit for all the sins, all the idolatry that they did before they did the Korban Pesach, because since they are repenting out of love, then Hashem transforms those sins into mitzvahs, then it's not the first month of the Sefer Shemen Roish. Then brings a beautiful Chasam Sofer in Parshas HaChodesh, where the Chasam Sofer says that when a person does tshuva me'ahava, tshuva out of love, not only his sins become merits, but also the sins that his father and his forefathers did also become merits. Because the Chasam Sofer says that the Gemara in Brachas, Dav Zayin, Omed Aleph 7a, asks a contradiction. In one place, in Shmos chapter 20, verse number 5, it says, Poiket avoin avois albonim, that Hashem revisits the sin of the father on the children, meaning that the children pay for the sins of the father. And then it's written in Dvarim chapter 24, verse number 16, Uvonim lo imsu al avois, that children should not die by the sins of their father. Then the Gemara says we have a clear contradiction. In one place it seems like the children suffer because of the sins of their parents, and in the other place it clearly says that each person only suffers by his own sin. The Gemara answers that kan kishachzim masav oseim beyodeim, that this that Hashem punishes a child for the sin of the father is when the child follows in the footsteps of the father, meaning if the father was a thief and the son is also a thief, that means he learned thievery from his father, then he's punished by the sin of the father. Vekan, and that you are punished by your own sin, is when you're not following in the footsteps of your father, then Hashem punishes you for your own sin. But nonetheless, if you follow in the footsteps of your father, you are not only punished by your sins, you are also punished by the sins of your father. The Chasam Sofer continues and says that the Orachaim HaKodesh in the beginning of Parshas Korach, where it says, Korach ben Itzar ben Kehaz ben Levi, Korach the son of Itzar, the son of Kehaz, the son of Levi, and it doesn't say ben Yaakov, the son of Yaakov. The Orachaim HaKodesh says that Kasher Adam Choyte, that when a person sins, Oz magiach koich achet, gam beshoresh avoisav, that the force of the sin also goes into the root of the father, meaning that the sin affects the father. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu knew that Korach is going to sin, and he prayed that Korach's sin should not affect him. Therefore, he doesn't mention that Korach is ben Yaakov, is a descendant of Yaakov, because Yaakov prayed that those sins should not affect all the way to him. But nonetheless, we see that when you sin, it affects your father. If the sin affects your father, then for sure, if you make a mitzvah, that mitzvah would definitely affect your father. Because we have a rule that midah tova, that the good attribute of Hashem, the Hashem rewards 500 times faster than when Hashem punishes. Because it's written in Shemos chapter 20, verse number 5, that Poiket avoin avois albonim val shleishim val ribeim lesoinoi, that Hashem revises the sin of the father to the second generation, to the third generation, to the fourth generation. But v'oisa chesed, but when Hashem does kindness, it does la'alofim to 2,000 generations, lo havoi uleshomer mitzvoisoi, to those who love Hashem and to those who keep his mitzvahs. That means when Hashem punishes, he punishes to the fourth generation, but when he does goodness to 2,000 generations, which means that it's 500 times greater, the goodness of Hashem, than the punishment of Hashem. That comes out that if a person would make tshuva out of love, and he would turn to merit his good deeds, he would not only turn to merit his good deeds, he would turn to merit all the sins that his father and forefathers did all the way to 2,000 generations. And also, if a sin corrupts the root, then a merit would for sure give pleasure and will rectify and will heal the root. And the Chasam Sofer continues and says that when it's written in Shmos chapter 12, verse number 21, where Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, Mishchu, pull yourself. And we mentioned that means Mishchu Mevoidezara, that you should pull yourself from idolatry. Ukhulochem, you should take tzoin l'mishpechoyseichem, you take a sheep for your families, it means your families that already died. Because since now you are pulling yourself from avodah zarah, from idolatry, and you are doing tshuva mehava, tshuva out of love, you are risking your life for Hashem. That means that you are doing tshuva completely, and you are doing tshuva out of love. Then this tshuva that you are doing now is going to affect l'mishpechoyseichem for your families, that all the sacrifices that they brought till now for idolatry, now they are going to turn out to be merits to your families. That not only the idolatry that you did, but all the idolatries that were done during the 210 years of the Egypt enslavement, all those are going to be now merits. They are going to be like a Pesach for Hashem. According to this, says Sefer Shemeroish, we know that the enslavement in Egypt started only because of Paroi, meaning Paroi enslaved the Jewish people in Egypt, and Paroi was responsible for the Jewish people doing idolatry. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu now is telling Paroi when he says, "Gam ato titen beyodenu zvachim v'oilois v'osinu l'Hashem Elokeinu," that you are also going to give in our hands sacrifices and elevation offerings, and we are going to do those to Hashem. It doesn't mean that Paroi is going to actually give them sacrifices. Clearly, Paroi is not giving us sacrifices because we are not allowed to accept the sacrifices of Paroi. But it means that since now Paroi doesn't want to let the Jewish people go, Hashem is going to make greater miracles. And once Hashem makes greater miracles, then the Jewish people are going to recognize the greatness of Hashem. They're going to see how Hashem loves them and how Hashem is changing nature because of the Jewish people. Then the Jewish people are going to repent, but they're going to repent with such strength that their repentance is going to be out of love. Once the Jewish people repent out of love, then comes out that all the sacrifices that Paroi caused the Jewish people to bring throughout the 210 years in Egypt to idolatry, it's now going to be brought to Hashem. Because since they turn out to be merits, then all the sacrifices that Jewish people did for idolatry are now a sacrifice to Hashem. Then Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Gam ato," that you also, titem beyodeinu, are going to give in our hands, because you are going to cause us to do tshuva mehava. It's like you are giving in our hands zvachim v'oilois, sacrifices and elevation offerings, v'sinu l'Hashem Elokeinu, and those sacrifices are going to be to Hashem. Because of your not letting the Jewish people go, you are forcing Hashem to make greater miracles. Once Hashem makes greater miracles, that causes the Jewish people to make tshuva out of love. Once the Jewish people do tshuva out of love, then the sacrifices they bought to idolatry turn out to be for Hashem. Then it's tantamount as you would have made the Jewish people bring sacrifices to Hashem. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should all do tshuva out of love. We should all rectify our sins and turn our sins to merits. And not only our sins to merits, but the sins of our fathers and forefathers to merits. Then we'll merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. B'mehera b'yomeinu. Amen.